We hope you enjoyed this teaching by Pastor Steve Kelly and Wave Church. We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching, and we believe that it will enrich and empower your life.
Are you ready for the word today? I'm going to go there. I want to teach on this ongoing teaching on the Holy Spirit, and I want to teach about how to judge prophecy. Should women prophesy? Should you ever prophesy in private? I want to teach all about it, because here's why. I'm going to tell you what's motivating this. So much crazy out there right now. People prophet. I'm getting so many emails. Pastor, would you judge this prophecy? Hey, I want to teach you how to judge it for yourself. Don't be asking me to be your Holy Spirit. You got the Holy Spirit in you. I'm going to teach it, and you're going to figure it out. Amen? Because I ain't reading the prophecies to tell you the truth. I'm busy enough trying to find out what God's saying to me as the leader of our church and what we are going to do to move forwards in Jesus' name. Shall we pray? See, already there's tension in the room. I love it. Father, as we come around your word, help me, I ask, to preach your word. Help us to hear it. Help us to receive it in the spirit in which it's given. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen. Here we go. Are you ready? Okay, so last week, or the week before last, because we had devoted last week, how good was devoted? Amazing. But we talked about the prophetic, the pathetic, and the preposterous. Some of the crazy things that happen. So we learn that prophecy is genuine, prophecy is of God. But in the New Testament, the Bible says it is one, prophecy is one, if you like, a prophet rather, is one of the five ascension gifted ministers given by God, watch this, to the local church as a gift to bring the church into a place of maturity. And how the Bible teaches us that we actually in the New Testament ought not to emphasize one over another. That between the balance of all five, there comes maturity. Between the balance of all five, the prophet, the pastor, the teacher, the evangelist, who do I leave out? The apostle, okay? That between the whole five, and the Bible says, and he gave some to be prophets, some to be apostles. Not everybody, some. Everybody say some. And the purpose of that is to equip. Look at the Bible says. Look, put it up on the verse here. Ephesians 4, verse 11. He gave some to be. No, okay, here we go. And well, yep, let's go to the next verse. And so Christ himself gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Look at the next verse. We're going to do this one verse at a time. Okay. To equip his people for works of service. So who, what is the some to do? They're there to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. So the some don't do the work of a ministry. They're there to equip God's people. So who does the ministry? Not the apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist. They are there as a gift from God, some, to equip God's people. Watch this, for works of service. So that the body of Christ may be built up. And look what it says here. Until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. I love that verse because what it tells me is this, listen to this, that one of Satan's greatest strategies ever is to get people out of local church. Right. No doubt about it. No question about it. Let me just say this, COVID did a good job of that. Yeah. It's got some people who are regularly in church no longer in church. They're out of the habit of being part of God's house. Now, everybody watching online, I want to say to you, you are a part of God's house today and well done for being online. But I'm talking about people who are no longer here or there, who are gone and no longer see church as a priority. And let me tell you, one of the greatest plans of the enemy is to dislocate you from his church. Why? Because it'll keep you unequipped. Not only will it keep you unequipped, it'll cause you to be not serving, but swerving. Are you hearing me? It will keep the body of Christ weak and pathetic. It'll keep the body of Christ divided. Amen? The Bible says, and the sum of it will equip the saints to do the work of the ministry to bring us to a place of unity. And let me tell you right now, without a doubt, there are some, even politically speaking, I'm not Republican or Democrat in what I'm saying. I'm just saying politically speaking, we are so polarized that both parties, not all of them are guilty of this, but the truth is both parties are guilty of demonizing the other party so that you actually align yourself with that thing. And again, I don't believe that belongs in the church. I believe we ought to be Christians, can you say amen, who bring unity. And so to me, I just want to say it, that it, you know, the, by not being part of God's house, it divides us, it keeps us immature, and it keeps us in an infant state. In other words, I believe it can cause us to be self-centered, and most importantly, that when we don't appreciate the fact that God gives gifts, the apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, and evangelist, to equip the saints to the work of the ministry, to bring us to a fullness and a maturity in unity, that, let me, most importantly to me, actually, you have no legacy for your family. Because if you're not in God's house, and I know I'm speaking to the choir this morning, but I'm wanting to motivate you to go after those who are no longer here.
Come on.
And I want to motivate you to go after those who aren't yet here in Jesus' name. Because these five ascension gifts are to equip you, watch, and if your family aren't saved, there's no legacy for future generation. The church is in danger of becoming extinct in one generation. If we can't pass on our faith to the next generation, come on, somebody. And sometimes I think we can get okay with the fact that our kids aren't walking with God and it doesn't seem to bother us. And I want to say it ought to concern you, because that's the future of the church. And let me tell you, if it doesn't bother you, I'm not so sure how much of a Christian you are. Okay, we're going to go there. I warned you I was going to go there. So, okay. So the New Testament ascension gifted prophet is part of the sum. Now, in the Old Testament prophet was the major way which God spoke to his people. But in the New Testament, he's one of the five gifts that he gives. Anybody catching that? And therefore, now that's a prophet. But then there's another emphasis. A prophet can prophesy. But then the Bible tells me there's one of the nine gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12. This is going to be a teachy word. Is that okay? So 1 Corinthians 12, it says there are nine gifts that are given to everyone. Look at the Bible verse. I want you to look at it here. It says in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. So this is, we're talking about prophecies. What are the nine spiritual gifts? Let me tell you what they are. Spiritual gifts, as found in the Bible, 1 Corinthians 12, is word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and discerning of spirits. And as Christians, any one of us can operate in these gifts. And let me just say this, as Christians, all of us should operate in these gifts. I wonder how many of us even know what those are. Word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits. I'm going to teach on it. And you're going to hear it over the next couple of weeks. Then there's faith, healings, and miracles. How many want those gifts working in your life? But then there's prophecy, tongues, and the interpretation of tongues. These are spiritual gifts. And anybody can operate in the gift of prophecy. But you may not, just because you do that, doesn't mean you're one of the five ascension gifts. Does that make sense? You'll be so far? Okay. So the Bible says in verse 11, look at verse 11, all these are the work of the one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one just as He determines. In other words, everyone can operate in any one of these nine gifts. Amen? And why is it given? The purpose of it is for the common good. Okay, so here we go. You ready for this? Is the one who operates the gift of prophecy a prophet? Well, the answer is simple, not necessarily. Just because someone prophesies doesn't mean they're a prophet. Amen? Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. Prophecy can be any New Testament believer. We got that, haven't we? Okay? What is the purpose of the gift of prophecy? It's real simple. It's how God speaks to His church in the New Testament. We're talking about the ascension gifted prophet. God can speak to us through an ascension gifted prophet that prophesies, or it can be any believer that can prophesy. It's how God speaks to His church. How many want God to speak to us? Amen? All right, so watch this here. Prediction, while a genuine part of prophecy, is only in the New Testament a small part of the purpose of prophecy. It is not necessarily in the New Testament foretelling, but forthtelling. It's prophecy means, listen to this, to speak for another. The word in the Greek is prophetia. And what it literally means is to speak for God, to bring the word of the Lord into your life. How many want to be open to this gift of God speaking to us? Amen. But why is it given? So God can speak to us. Number two, it's given, watch this, in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 3, but he who prophesies, watch, speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort. In other words, why does God give us this gift of prophecy, whether it be an ascension gifted prophet or whether it be somebody operating in one of the nine manifestation gifts? It's to actually comfort us. It's to edify us. It's to exhort us. So if some prophet coming out of the Old Testament into 2021 and they start prophesying doom and gloom, I know it's not God. Because I can judge it, and the purpose of New Testament prophecy is to edify, to comfort, and to exhort. Somebody say amen. Amen. Are you hearing me? So let me just keep going because I gotta move through this quickly. It's given so others can learn. Look at 1 Corinthians 14, verse 31. For you can all prophesy in turn so that everyone may be instructed, so we can learn and be encouraged. I mean, years ago, I was in church and a friend of mine was going through a particularly tough time in his life. Things were tough. And a person prophesied over them. And this was the prophecy. I've never forgotten it. You've got to learn to push through the pain barrier. You're going through a tough time in your life, but you've got to do the hard yards. And I'm sitting there next to my friend going, that may be a word from him, but I learned from that prophecy. I need to do the same. Because I myself was going through a bit of a situation, a bit of a challenge. And I remember as I was praying, God gave me a scripture, Proverbs 24, verse 10. If you faint in the day of adversity, how small is your strength? You know what God's saying? Man up. Yeah. Right. Come on, this is good for you. Yeah. And I learned that day, even though the prophecy wasn't for me, I was able to learn from someone else's prophecy and apply it to my life. You catching this? So why is it given? So we can learn. Is prophecy intended for guidance? The answer is, listen to this, prophecy must not be the sole basis for guidance. It may help confirm what God is already speaking to you about, but it is not the basis upon which you act. Did you hear that? First, 2 Corinthians 13, verse 1. Watch this. This is my third visit to you. Every matter, every say every matter. That was terrible. Every say every matter. Every matter must be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. Okay, so prophecy must not be the sole basis for guidance. Someone prophesies something over your life does not mean you act on it. The Bible, Paul says, hey, it's got to be two or three witnesses. The Bible says a dream, dreamt twice, is the word of the Lord spoken. And I want to encourage us to have wisdom that when someone prophesies over us, we know what to do. Amen, church. Come on, somebody say amen. Stay focused here. Somebody say amen. I've seen, and by the way, I people say, Pastor, could you read this prophecy? Could you read this prophecy? I'm going, dang, I'm not reading all the prophecies. I'm just trying to find out what God's saying to me as the leader of the church and trying to give you wisdom how to deal with these things. Amen. And so the Bible says prophecy, if a prophecy, now here's the next question. Excuse me. If a prophecy doesn't confirm what God has already spoken to you about, hold it in abeyance. In other words, put it on the shelf until it's confirmed or it comes to pass. I'll give you an example. When I was 17, a chiropractic doctor who was an evangelist, without a doubt, one of the best evangelists I ever met, one of the greatest soul winners I ever met in my life. And he prophesied over me and he said, Steve, the Lord told me that God's going to open a door for you in Lima, Peru. I'm 17 years old. Well, how old am I now? I just turned 58. So that was a long time ago. But God only opened that door for Lima about 10 or maybe 15 years ago. I think I said 10, but it could have been 15 years ago that God only first opened that door. And when I was first asked to go to Lima, Peru, I declined the invitation. And then I remembered this guy prophesied over me when I was 17. And just because God said something, God sometimes puts it in seed form so that when the time comes for it to come to pass, the seed's already there. I didn't suddenly get a plane ticket and go to Lima, Peru. I'm not kicking down a door. I have never, ever in my life, ever asked to preach in another church anywhere in the world. You say, why do you say that? Because I see so many Christians trying to kick down doors. And I just want to say this to you. God's the God that opens doors. And what he opens, no one can shut. And when he shuts, no one can open. I see people chasing after prophecies. I see people chasing after words and chasing after a calling and trying to leverage their way into a relationship for a situation to get close to someone so we can actually promote them. And can I tell you, God's the door opener. And for 17 till about 37 years of age, I sat on that word and then God opened the door for Lima, Peru. So just because someone prophesies over you doesn't mean you act on it. You sometimes put it on the shelf. You hold it in a bands. Our main source of guidance must come from the inner witness of the Spirit and from the Word of God, not from prophecies. Amen. Let me give you the Bible verse that backs it up. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. For those who are led by the Spirit are the children of God. For those who are what? Led by the Spirit are the children of God. I see some people go, well, I'm going to put out a fleece and see if God wants me to do this. That's an Old Testament principle. It is not a New Testament principle. The New Testament principle is, listen to this, we're led by the Spirit. So you can put out a fleece. And let me just say this to you. The devil could fleece you because we're led by the Spirit today. Amen. And there's an inner witness in our own spirit that comes with a peace that comes from our own spirit. We don't need, listen to this, a fleece to find God's will. That's called maturity and insight and understanding of how we live in the New Testament. Praise the Lord. I think there's a good place to clap right now in Jesus' name. Here's a question. Excuse me. That's good, isn't it? Is the gift of prophecy infallible? And I want to tell you, absolutely no. It is fallible. And just because someone prophesied it doesn't mean it was God. Otherwise, the Bible would not teach us what it teaches us, that prophecy must be judged. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 29, two or three prophets should speak and the others should weigh carefully what is said. So just because someone prophesied something doesn't mean it's God. Come on, church. It's getting tense like the other service was, okay? Okay, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 19. Do not quench the Spirit. I love that. Don't quench the Spirit. Some people, because of this, try to quench it. So the Bible says, don't quench it. But, and it says, do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all and hold on to what is good. So don't quench the Spirit. Don't try and hold back the operation of the gift of prophecy, but judge it, test it. Put it through the acid test. Does it comfort? Does it encourage? Does it edify? And if it doesn't, it's not God. I'm just reading the Bible. Should prophecy be exercised in private? No. The gift of prophecy is to be used in church or a fellowship of mature believers. You say, Pastor, have you got a Bible verse? I've got a whole bunch of them. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 4, verse 12, verse 23, verse 26, verse 28, and verse 29. If I were to read them all, I'd take up too much time. All these notes will be downloaded on our website, and I'd love for you to read them for yourself. But every time the word, the gift of prophecy is mentioned in Scripture, it's always in the context of in church, where other mature believers can be present and can weigh it up. Come on. Amen? So listen to this one. How do we judge prophecy? This is the big one, because I get asked all the time. Just this week, I had a pastor ring me up, and he said, Steve, and this is a good friend, and he said, look, I don't know what to do in our city, and I'm going to go out there. I'll go on record saying this. I got no problem. But he says, I don't know what to do. I've got people asking me, what is the church's response to what's happening in regards to some of the things that are happening in my city? And one of the things that's happening, and I think this is reprehensible, is that children in schools are being vaccinated without parents' permission. I will go to hell and back on that one. You do not have the right to decide what needle goes in my children's body, and I will fight you tooth and nail on that one. When it comes to COVID, I'm not an anti-vaxxer. You with me here? And if you are, God bless you. You hearing me? When it and let me just say this. If you're wondering about, have I been vaccinated? Yes. That shocks some people. Pastor, aren't you afraid it could hurt you? I'm just claiming the Bible verse. You shall drink any deadly thing and it shall not harm you. It hasn't affected me at all. The truth of the matter is I'm called to preach. I'm called to travel. And if that's going to be a door opener for me, so be it. Praise the Lord. I'm not afraid of COVID. I'm not afraid of the devil. I'm not afraid of sickness. Now, I'll fight for people to have the freedom to choose. And that's what I believe. But in these same cities, there's now mandates happening about things about you can't eat, you can't shop, you can't do anything unless you've been vaccinated. And this friend of mine's going, what do you think I should tell people? And this is what I'll say. You ready for it? Because people say to me, what do you think, Pastor? And let me just tell you what I think. Who cares what I think? Sometimes I don't even care about what I think myself. I tell you what I do think. Does it line up with Scripture or does it contradict Scripture? If it contradicts Scripture, I'm with Scripture. And if Scripture is silent, I believe you have the right to choose. And we'll all live by our choices. And that's honestly what I think. If you don't like that, that's okay. Because that's what unity in the faith means. We don't always have to agree on everything. If I were to take a poll on end times theology, I guarantee you there'd be people here that would be pre, post, and trib millennials. And there are people here when it comes to creation have got the, you know, pre-Adamic race, the, you know, the futuristic point of view, the historical point of view. I know them all, by the way. If I were to ask you, what do you believe, that you can lose your salvation or once saved, always saved? I guarantee you there's lots of people with often different opinions. We don't always have to agree on everything. There can be unity in diversity in Jesus' name. So, if Scripture is clear, I'm with Scripture. Can somebody say amen? Amen. But if Scripture is silent, then it's a bit like the Sabbath. In the Old Testament, man, it's clear. But now in the New Testament, the Bible says, hey, Sabbath, that's kind of your decision. It depends on how you feel. Depends how you, and Paul teaches that. Passover, same thing. Oh, it's very quiet in here. This is the teaching word. You ready for this? All right, I can tell some of you are kind of filtering this based on some of the crazy things we've all heard. And now the Bible is actually teaching us how to judge this. Welcome to maturity and welcome to the Bible. I'm not saying I'm mature, but I've been around for a little while. I've studied this. This is my lane. This is what I love to teach. How do we judge prophecy? You ready for this? The true end of all prophecy, or rather the end of all true prophecy, is to build, to admonish, and to encourage. This is Derek Prince, one of the best Bible teachers on this subject in the world. And this is what he says. The end of all true prophecy is to build up, to admonish, and to encourage the people of God. Anything not directed to that end is not a true prophecy. Did you hear that? Okay, I remember sitting in church and I heard a guy and he was considered a prophet and he said, the Lord show me there's people here and you've got secret sin in your life and if you don't come forward and confess your sin to me, I will name you and your sin. And I sat there and I was able to judge that is not a true prophet. That is a false prophet because God does not use the gift of prophecy to do that. We live in a new covenant. Somebody say amen. And God is not there to expose you. It is there to encourage you, to build you up. Come on. And to edify you. You should have seen some people ran to the front. Some people ran at the back. And that person he's sitting next to me, this prophet gets and says, you should be up here. And so my friend said, he's right. And he went running to the front. He says, come with me. I said, that man's not a man from God. I judge that. That is not a New Testament. That is not how God speaks. The end of true prophecy is to build up, to admonish, to encourage God's people. Anything not directed to that end is not true prophecy. Here's what that guy did. People came forwards. And this will shock some of you. People come forwards and he would have women confess their sin of being unfaithful to their husband. Then he would get their phone number and end up sleeping with them himself. He's a charlatan. He's a false prophet. He's using the gifts of the Spirit, which are not the gifts of the Spirit. He's a Christian lap dancer. Come on, somebody. Okay, number two, all true prophecy agrees with the letter and the spirit of scriptures. All true prophecy agrees with the letter and the spirit. Now listen, all letter and you can be legalistic. All spirit and you could be crazy. So all true prophecy agrees with the letter and the spirit of scripture. So someone says, well, I've got the word from scripture and the Bible talks about this king that left his wife because she didn't obey him. So I've got the letter of scripture. My wife doesn't obey me. I'm leaving her and I'm marrying somebody else. You foolish person. Consider the context. It was an ungodly king. Are you hearing me? And he said, what will I do? And he was worried about his whole kingdom and how women will uprise in his whole kingdom because she didn't do what the king said. And you use an ungodly king as an example for you, a godly man with scripture that is text outside of context to justify you not being faithful to your wife. Come on, somebody. There are scriptural grounds for divorce in the New Testament. That's not one of them. Because my wife won't obey me. Okay, we're going to go there. Is this okay? So you can get the letter of scripture. Well, the Bible does say that. But it does not mean you can just leave your wife just because she's not obeying you. Oh. It agrees with the letter and the spirit of scripture. So the spirit of scripture, listen to this. Someone said to me, I believe God's called me. He was a guy that got out of jail and he was a bank robber. And that's fine because we're all into forgiveness here. Amen. But it doesn't mean you're not without the consequences. Somebody who gets out of jail as a bank robber is not going to be counting the offering in Wave Church. Wouldn't you? Well, of course, nowadays there is no offering to count. It's all digital. Unless you're a hacker, I suppose, then you can find another way of doing it. I haven't given anybody ideas here, have I? Spirit of scripture is this. Okay, not just the letter, but the spirit of it. So this guy says, the Lord's called me to go into the nightclubs and dance with all the pretty girls. This is what he told me. Not the ugly ones, just the pretty ones. Because I'm concerned there's not enough pretty young females in the church for young men. So I can't be tempted because I've been to prison and I'm married. Well, how many know that is not the spirit or the letter of scripture? That is a man who's using his own flesh to cover up and, you know, trying to put words in God's mouth. That is just dumb. Can you say amen? So all true prophecy doesn't just have the spirit of scripture. It matches up with the letter. Doesn't just have the letter. It matches up with the spirit. Is this helping anybody? All right. So watch this. What are we up to? Number three, all true prophecy centers in Jesus and exalts and glorifies him. All true prophecy centers on Jesus and exalts and glorifies him. Listen to this. It is not Joseph Smith and then another prophet that allows you to write a whole new Bible. Amen? Which is, by the way, Mormonism, which is, in case you don't know, a cult. If that does not offend you, come up to me afterwards and I will personally offend you. Because you don't suddenly get this whole New Testament and another teaching that comes because all true prophecy centers on Jesus and exalts and glorifies him. Number four, true prophecy, this one's big, produces fruit in character and conduct that agrees with the fruit of the Holy Spirit. All true prophecy produces fruit. When a prophecy is given, you can judge it by the fruit of which was given. That in it, it produces, listen to this, fruit in character and conduct that is consistent with love, joy, peace, gentleness, kindness, self-control, long-suffering. And all true prophecy produces fruit in character and conduct. So somebody gets a prophecy and all of a sudden they think they're the James Bond license to kill. and go around pointing the finger and judging fingers of everybody else, that is not a true prophetic person. Can you say amen? It produces fruit in character and conduct of the fruit of the Spirit. This is good preaching right here. It needs to be taught. Number five, if a prophetic word is given that contains predictions of the future, are these predictions fulfilled? If not, the revelation is not from God. That's obvious, isn't it? Someone prophesies something's going to happen, it doesn't happen. Well, it's not God. We can judge that. I'm going to go there for a minute. Give me a minute. Is that okay? Will you give me a minute to teach this? I remember a guy in Australia, very well-renowned prophet, who I have great respect for, prophesied at a Assemblies of God denominational conference that this one particular individual, there was an election coming up and there were two people up for the election as to who would be the president of the movement. And this guy took it upon himself to prophesy that this other person, not this person, would be the future president. All right, come election time, this person that he prophesied didn't get elected. It was the other person. The other person happened to be a friend of mine. And so this prophet finally, when we talked, said, can you just admit that that prophecy, as the Bible says, we can judge it. Just because you're a prophet doesn't mean you're exempt from judgment. Can you admit that was wrong? Because the person you prophesied didn't get it. And you know, to his credit, he said, yep, it was wrong. I'll trust that prophet any day of the week. I'll trust him another day because he can admit he was wrong. Just because, now let me just say this. Number six, the fact that a person makes a prediction concerning the future, which is fulfilled, even that does not necessarily prove that that person is a true prophet. If a person, by his ministry, turns others away from obedience to the one true God, then that person is a false prophet, even if he makes correct predictions concerning the future. Is that good? So just because someone prophesies something about the future and it comes to pass does not in and of itself mean it's a true prophecy. We got to judge it. Amen? Number seven, true prophecy given by the Holy Spirit produces liberty and not bondage. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And any true, I mean, I've seen sometimes people use the prophetic to manipulate people to do what they want them to do. And then you find yourself, before you think about doing anything you feel God wants you to do, you're always thinking, well, what does this person say? What does this person say? God does not put you in bondage to any one person. Can anybody say amen? And you don't live in a fear of what any one person says, but it gives you freedom, not bondage, in Jesus' name. True prophecy that comes from God brings liberty and not bondage. Praise the Lord. Number eight, true prophecy given by the Holy Spirit is attested by the Holy Spirit within each believer who hears it. In other words, I want to say this to you. There's an inner witness within your own spirit. 1 John 2 verse 27. And the Bible says you don't need anyone to teach you because you have the Holy Spirit that abides with you and he will lead you. There's an ability for you in your own spirit to have a resonation. Yeah, that's God. And it's confirmed within your own heart by the Holy Spirit. Come on. Amen. Okay. And number nine, you must be a student of the word to be able to discern. Okay, here's the ninth thought. You got to be, if you're not in the Word, how will you ever know what the letter and the spirit of the Word says? So you've got to be a student of the Word. Otherwise, you're vulnerable to just any old prophecy that comes along. And I've seen too many people's lives destroyed by not being able to judge. I've seen people chase after these things, and I'm for it, and I don't despise it, but I want there to be wisdom and balance and maturity. And after all, we're a church that believes in the gifts of the Spirit, and we need to know how to operate in these things properly in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let me ask you a question. When a person gives a prophecy, is he or she forced to speak when the Holy Spirit moves him? And the answer is absolutely not. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 30. If a revelation comes to someone who is sitting down, the first speaker should stop. So if you feel like God's given you something, the first speaker needs to stop and you need to wait till that person speaks, finish speaking before you speak. In other words, you are in control of what you do. You wait for the right time. The Bible says things should be done decently and in order. Look at verse 32. I love this verse. The spirit of a prophet is subject to the control of a prophet. So when someone says, well, I just couldn't help myself, the Spirit of God came on me and I just prophesied. Well, you're in error. Because the Bible tells me that the spirit of a prophet is subject to the prophet. Look at me. I can choose to prophesy or not prophesy. I'm in control of this. It's not in control of me. So the moment someone says, well, I was out of control. Yeah, you were out of control and you were in error as to what Scripture teaches what a person who operates in that gift works like. Now, I know some of you are processing that and that's good. Praise the Lord. Okay, and let me ask this. Can women prophesy? And then I'm done. Can women prophesy? The answer is absolutely yes. Acts 2, in the last days, says God, I will pour my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. I'm still seeing visions. The old men, like Egg Augustine, will dream dreams. I just had to do that, Ed. I looked at you there and I thought I got to throw you under the bus. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. Watch this. Joel prophesied that men and women will prophesy. We're living in the day which he prophesied about. Are you hearing it? Let me tell you, Acts 21, verse 8 and 9. Leaving the next day, we reached Caesarea and stayed at the house of Philip the evangelist, one of the seven. One of the seven is when they realized that there was people being neglected in hospitality and care, and they put seven people to be administrators. Philip was one of them. And Philip had four unmarried daughters. I love how the Bible is very clear. Unmarried daughters. Did you see that? And it says, who prophesied? Okay. Philip had four. Now, I love it because it actually is deliberate. Unmarried. Because Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 5. But every woman who prays or prophesies with her head uncovered dishonors her head. It is the same as if having her head shaved. In other words, women can prophesy, but there ought to be a sense in which there is still a covering of a woman. The Bible says, now this will, I know this will offend some feminists, praise the Lord, but I'm into the Bible. Some of you are too scared to agree with me or disagree with me right now. But this is what the Bible says. Listen, any woman can prophesy, but the Bible says the husband is the head of the wife. That doesn't mean he lords it over. Doesn't mean he dominates. Doesn't mean, you're hearing me? It just says we give covering to our wives. And even in the church, watch this. Philip had some unmarried daughters. They had no husband, but Philip, their father, was their covering. And Paul talks about, listen, if you're not careful and you don't believe in covering and you don't see the power of it, the enemy is that exactly what he used to deceive Eve in the garden. Listen, Adam did not cover her. He did not run to her and say, Eve, this is the enemy, and he left her vulnerable. And I believe that there's room for men and women to preach in the church. Can you say amen? But any man who is not submitted and subjected to leadership is a man that will never hold this microphone in this church. Any woman who is not submitted and subjected to leadership is someone who will not hold this microphone in this church. Come on, somebody say amen. So we need to understand, let me tell you, the enemy, the most dangerous thing that can happen is a woman uncovered. And that's why Paul talks about it. It's another day. It's another subject. I'd love to teach more about it, but I know this much. My wife would wholeheartedly agree with that comment. Wholeheartedly. And let me tell you, I'm a strong leader. And I remember when I felt like God called me to come to the United States, God told me, God prophesied over my life. And it was a problem. You know what? I said to Sharon, honey, I feel this is God. And she goes, listen, I can't do it. It's too big. It's too intimidating. It's too much. My whole family is here. I said, you know what I did? I said, God, I know you've called me to do this. I know you've called us as a family to go, but God, she hears from you better than I'll ever hear from you. So God, I'll go, but I'll never go unless she believes it's as much you as I do. So God, it's over to you now. And I said to Sharon, honey, I would never in a million years say to you, this is what God told me and you will obey. I trust God that you can speak to her. And if you don't, that's your problem. That's not on me. I had a guy come up to me and say, what kind of man are you? And I said, are you married? He goes, no. I said, I wonder why. It wasn't within weeks later, God spoke to Sharon as clear as day. And she said, Steve,
we're doing this.
All right. Tiptoe through the tulips. My time is gone. True prophecy is either one, a gift from God that comes to his church. Number two, it's from Satan. Or number three, and Satan, that's obvious, from the devil, false prophet. Number three, I don't know if you know this, it can come through a person's own spirit. It can come through your spirit. Let me just close with this, and my time is up. Ezekiel 13, verse 2. Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel. Watch this. Who are now prophesying. Watch. Say to those who prophesy out of their own imagination. In other words, they create these thoughts in their own minds. It's just through human spirit. It can come. It can come from God. It can come from the devil. And it can come from people's own imaginations. That's where prophecies come from. I hope this has helped. There's a few things you're not supposed to do when you prophesy. You're not supposed to despise it, because I think sometimes we see crazy in the church, and I've had to have that verse in my life. Don't despise it. You're not to monopolize. You ever been at a church where it's the same person every week that brings the prophecy? The Bible says each one of us should have a song, a hymn, a song, okay? We're not to interrupt someone else when they're speaking. And finally, we're not to neglect this gift. And I think this is the point I want to land on. Look at this last verse. 1 Timothy 4, verse 14. Do not neglect your gift, which was given to you, watch this, through prophecy when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Let me just say this. I'm teaching on prophecy today. And there's not a Christian and the listener that's not listening to the sound of my voice and watching online that ought not to be praying, God, let me use this gift. Let me be a blessing to bring the word of the Lord into a person's life. I want to show you what it looks like. You ready for it? I'm going to prophesy right now. You ready for it? And it's this gentleman right here. What's your name?
Renee.
Renee, I was praying this morning and the Holy Spirit gave me a scripture. I didn't know who it was for, but I looked at you and I know who it's for now. The Bible says that Paul says, for I am persuaded that neither height nor depth, nor angel nor demon, nor principality nor power, nor things present nor things come can separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. God gave me that verse this morning. I woke up with that verse in my heart. He said, in the service, I'll tell you who it's for. And I'm looking at you and I believe it's for you. That you need to know right now that nothing and no one can separate you from the love of God. Things have tried, and you can look at it and you could almost lose your relation with Christ because you allow other things and other people to almost interfere with that. But Paul said, for I am persuaded that nothing and no one can separate me from the love of God, nor principality, nor power, nor things present, things that are facing right now, things in your future, neither things in the past, neither principality nor power, nor things present, nor things in the future. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. There's nothing you've done that can separate you from the love of God. There's nothing anyone else can do to you that can separate you. For I am persuaded, says the Lord. Now, what I just did was bring a word in the Bible, and I brought it to my friend here, Renee, who I've just said hello to for the first time. That's a word from God. I pray, and I believe it is a word from God, but I would not claim infallibility to it. But I do know it's based in Scripture. I do know it is something that will comfort and encourage and edify. I want to encourage you, don't neglect this gift. As Christians, we ought to be people who can bring God's word into people's lives. Do you receive the word? Do you receive that word? Amen. Amen. All right, I got to finish. Well, over these next few weeks, I want to keep teaching. I want to teach about these other gifts of the Spirit that we should all be operating in. We, Wave Church, believe in the gifts of the Spirit. I believe in faith, healings, and miracles. Let me tell you, we need to see some more of them. We need to see some more of them. We got to be really going there. We have not because we ask not. So we're going to go there. We're going to teach you, amen, about what it is to actually have a discerning of spirits. We're going to teach you to have a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge. We're going to teach you. Ready for this one? We're going to teach you about what the gift of tongues is. I'm even going to teach you how to interpret a tongue. You don't see that a lot in today's church. Let me tell you, we need to see it. Amen? How many are looking forward to these next couple of weeks on the Holy Spirit? Now, I taught a word today. I didn't preach a word. I taught a word. But I want to tell you, It will help you. Get the notes. Download it. It's on our website. I got to finish, Rach. I got to do one more thing before I hand it back. And that is, I want to pray for anyone here who has not yet given your life to Jesus. Listen, look at me. The Bible says these signs will follow them that believe. You hearing me? These signs. Signs and wonders follow the preaching of the Word of God. I could preach on tithing and people would give their life to Jesus. I could preach on holiness and people would give their life to Jesus. I could preach on purity and people would give their life to Jesus. I could teach on the tabernacle and people would give their life to Jesus. Are you hearing me? Because it's when we preach the Word of God that signs and wonders follow. There's no greater sign, there's no greater wonder in a church than a person giving their life to Jesus. There's no greater miracle than that miracle. Can you say amen? And already online, somebody has already clicked that button to give their life to Jesus. And I know there's people here today. And I brought a teaching word, but I know God's preparing your heart for today, that you would give your life to Jesus today. Maybe, listen, look, maybe you've never had a life-changing encounter with Jesus. Maybe this morning you once were walking with God, but you know today, for one reason or another, you're not walking with God like you once were. Something and someone disconnected you from your relationship with Jesus. Can I just say this to you? Please, please, don't get your confidence in me. Don't even get your confidence in a church. There is a friend that's closer than a brother. His name is Jesus. Salvation doesn't come from me and it doesn't come from the church. It comes with you and your relationship with Jesus. We need church. We need pastors. All as I am is a gift. That's all I am. If you receive me as a gift, that's what I'll be. Amen. The church is a place where we grow to maturity, but it all starts and it all ends with your relationship with Jesus. And I want to pray for you today. If you say, Steve, I need Jesus, I need to get right with God, I'm going to ask everybody to close your eyes and bow your heads. And please now, nobody move. Everybody stay still. And I want to pray for you. If you say, Steve, pray for me. Steve, include me in that prayer. I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to get right with God. I'm going to ask you right where you're seated, if you will take a moment right now and lift your hand high enough and long enough for me to see it. God bless you right there. God bless you right there. Come on, keep lifting your hand. God bless you right there. God bless you right there. Come on, keep lifting your hand. God bless you right there. 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 Hands are being raised. Why? Because we taught the Word of God and signs and wonders follow the preaching of the Word of God. Is there anybody else who hasn't lifted your hand, but you know you should lift it right now? It's my last call. God bless you. Anybody else? Lift it. My last call. Lift it now. God bless you. Oh, how many know that was? Wait, there's two more right there. Church, can we give the Lord a hand? Amen. Let's pray this prayer. Say, Lord Jesus. Oh, come on, church. Say, Lord Jesus, I ask you today to come into my life, to forgive me of my sins. I receive you now as my Lord and Savior. I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth. I am now Christian. My sins are forgiven. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we give the Lord a hand for everybody online? Well done.
We hope you enjoyed this message by Pastor Steve Kelly. You can find more resources by Pastor Steve at stevekelly.tv and wavechurch.com.